Please open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. In our journey with Naomi and Ruth, we have seen them in a destitute condition. A Jewess who had wandered away from God to a foreign land and lost her husband and sons. A Gentile who was connected to Naomi by marriage, lost her husband, and both are destitute. God brings them back to the place of blessing. They come back, Naomi bitter, Ruth destitute, but with her mother-in-law. In chapter 2, by the providence of the Lord, He brought them back at a good time, at harvest. The drought has passed, the harvest has come again. And by His providence, He leads Ruth to glean in the harvest field of a man named Boaz, who blesses her greatly. Who, when she tells Naomi, Naomi says, "Well, may the Lord be blessed. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." And hope begins to rise again. In chapter 3, we saw the act of redemption sought by Naomi and Ruth in Boaz. And He promised that He would do the work. All they had to do was sit still and wait upon Him to do the work of redemption if He could. There was another one in the way that was a nearer kinsman. Last week in chapter 4, we saw how that Boaz did the work of redemption. He saw that all obstacles were removed and he purchased back the land, the inheritance. He also took Ruth to be his wife, to raise up seed that the heir might continue in the inheritance. Boaz promised to do the work of the kinsman redeemer. He fulfilled his promise. Now what? Well, now Boaz's amazing statements of a full reward and the blessing of the Lord on Ruth and Naomi are also fulfilled in these last few verses, both immediately and ultimately. I want just to remind you of the amazing statements that Boaz had made to Ruth. In chapter 2 and verse 12, we're told this. Boaz speaking to Ruth. "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then in chapter 3, verse 10, when she presents herself to him as the answer to the prayer that he had pronounced upon her, "The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge," she presents himself to him that he would be the fulfiller of that. Verse 10 of chapter 3, he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. The Lord bless you." Well, we're going to see that now in these final verses. And first, I want you to ponder with me the immediate rewards of the redemption by Boaz. What he did and what it produced. And just a couple of preliminary thoughts for you. That verse in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done." Please don't think that she earned redemption. She did not. Redemption was a gracious act which Boaz chose to do for her. What he's talking about when he says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done," is explained in the rest of the verse. He also says, a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's now what she has done. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That's what she did. She didn't do anything else. She just fled to him for refuge in her destitution. He spread his wings over her and gave her a full reward, a blessing. The preliminary thought is this, that what Ruth and Naomi receive in these last few verses are the rewards of grace, not the rewards of works, other than it's the work of Boaz, not Ruth. All she could do was present herself and say, you are what I need. I take refuge in you. And the reward of doing that is what comes now. The rewards of grace to the ones who have taken refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. And these rewards are gifts from the Redeemer's work, not the work of the redeemed. You must understand that when we use the term reward. It's a reward of grace, not merit. See the immediate results or rewards for Ruth, a believing Gentile, in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord, Yahweh, the covenant Lord, the Redeemer, gave her conception, and she bore a son. Think of who Ruth was previously. She was a widow. I don't know what kind of a man her husband was, but she was a widow. She was destitute. She had nothing except her mother-in-law, whom she clung to in faith and clung to her God. She was also childless. In that culture, childlessness was a curse for Jew or Gentile. She who was once a destitute, childless widow now has a husband, and a most gracious husband, a most loving husband, more than she could perhaps ever have dreamed of. That's the reward of redemption. Because now Boaz looks at her and says, you are mine, but not simply as a slave. You are my wife. You belong to me. I love you. She is a loved wife. And out of that loving relationship came another reward. And that was a son. An heir to perpetuate Naomi's line. There's more. Down at verse 17, it says, the women of the neighborhood gave him, the child, a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They called him Obed, and he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. She is the great-grandmother of King David. I don't know what she was before, but what is she now? A reward, a full reward bestowed upon her. She is the great-grandmother of King David. Just as an aside, poor, unredeemed Oprah. Oprah's poor and unredeemed, too. Orpah. She's back in Moab, still destitute. Maybe she did end up with a husband. Maybe she'd end up with children. But she is not the great-grandmother of one like David. Oh, Ruth must have reveled in this the rest of her life. I'm loved. I have a husband. I have a son. And I don't know if she lived to see the days of David being king on earth. But under the wings of Yahweh, she could look back on time and say, look what God did. Me, a Gentile from Moab. I'm the great-grandmother of David. The rewards. In chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, the Lord repay you for what you've done, a full reward be given you by the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor or grace in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servants, though I am not one of your servants. Now she can say, I have found favor in your eyes, my beloved one, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your wife, though I don't deserve to be your wife. She had more comfort and favor now than she'd ever had in her life. That's the immediate reward for Ruth, the believing Gentile. We begin with this song, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. I'll tell you, as I sang that, I could hear Ruth. This song was written long after Ruth. Guess it was done about 1600s, mid-1600s. But listen to these words again, and listen to Ruth singing a song like this. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. All you who hear, now who to His temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. I want to share with you the rewards of redemption. Come with me and hear it. Praise to the Lord who are all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters you under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Have you not seen how thy desires have been granted in what He ordains? Can't you hear Ruth singing that? Wow! Can't you see it? All the desires that I had that I thought were lost. No husband, no children, destitute. I now have a loving husband. I have a son. I'm not destitute anymore because I've come under His wings. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy have daily attended thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty will do if with His love He befriend thee. Let me tell you what Boaz has done for my life. You remember what I was? Let me tell you what He's done for me. It's wonderful. His love has befriended me. How much more the love of Yahweh. Praise to the Lord who with marvelous wisdom has made you, decked you with health, with loving hand, guided and stayed you. How oft in grief hath He not brought you relief, spreading His wings to o'ershade you. Oh, the grief that she went through. The loss of her husband. The loss of all things. And yet He spread His wings over me and brought me relief. Praise to the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly forever we adore Him. If for Boaz, how much more should you adore Jesus Christ, your Redeemer? The immediate rewards for Ruth. Look at the immediate rewards for Naomi, a believing Jew. In verse 14, then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may His name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to Him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. The immediate rewards for Naomi. She had felt calamity. In chapter 1 and verse 21, she said, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" She had felt the calamity of loss, the loss of her husband, the loss of her two sons. She's destitute. But now, she's redeemed. And the inheritance that had been sold is now redeemed. It's now secured with a renowned living family redeemer. Not just simply in Boaz, but in the raising up of Obed, there is the one who now secures that for her as a living redeemer. Out of death came a living redeemer for the family. Chapter 1, verse 20. Naomi said, "Why do you call me Naomi? Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." She came back bitter. But after the redemption, they tell her this. In verse 15, "He'll be a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." She's not bitter anymore. Redemption has taken the bitterness away, and the immediate reward of that is she now has restoration and nourishment. Chapter 1, verse 5. Both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. She had been destitute. All she had when she came back was a Moabite daughter-in-law who said, "Your God is my God." But through that Moabite daughter-in-law, who confessed faith in the God of Israel and took shelter under His wings, she found a daughter-in-law who worked real hard at gleaning to provide for her. She found a daughter-in-law who took her instructions and did exactly what she said in approaching Boaz to be a potential redeemer. Boaz not only redeemed the land, he took Ruth as his wife. As a result of that came a son to Ruth, a grandson to Naomi. She who had been destitute found in Ruth a redeemed Gentile, someone better than seven sons of Israel. You see that in verse 15? Your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons. Look, if Naomi could have had seven sons, she would have been richly blessed. But because of redemption, she found in Ruth someone better than seven sons. That's the reward of redemption. She's not destitute. In chapter 1, verse 21, it says that she went out full, she came back empty. But now she's full again. Verse 16, Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And she holds this little baby. And she says, I went out with a husband and two sons, came back with nothing, and now look what I have. God has given me this son to nourish and cherish and to find fullness and fulfillment in again. Those were the immediate results for Naomi. Secondly, now I want you to ponder the ultimate rewards of redemption by Christ, of whom Boaz is a historical picture. This is now the part of the message that if you ever listen to Paul Harvey, and now the rest of the story. The ultimate reward in the coming of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. That's what Christ means. It's not his second name, it's his title. He's the Messiah. The promised one to Israel. The seed of Abraham. He's not only the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then we have the genealogy. Notice at verse 5, it says, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. That's an interesting name in the genealogy of Christ, isn't it? And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, a Gentile who has put faith in the God of Israel. And Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. And now the rest of the story. You go down through the genealogy until you come to verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Messiah. Beloved, if you think Ruth and Naomi rejoiced when they found out that they were the ancestors of King David, can you imagine what they rejoiced about when they found out that they were in the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah? And not just a Jewess, but a Gentile who had come to faith in the God of her mother-in-law, included in the genealogy. The ultimate son. The ultimate kinsman redeemer. The ultimate king. Look also at verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And save is a very comprehensive word. It covers all the works of God in our salvation. But one of those works is redemption. And let me read it to you that way, knowing that redemption is a subset of salvation. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will redeem his people from their sins. All who are his people, whether they are Jew or Gentile, were all as Ruth and Naomi were, destitute, lost, without hope, except God gave the provision of a kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ was born of Mary to become our kinsman redeemer and to redeem his people. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. His people, Messiah's people, from their sins. He is the ultimate, renowned redeemer. Remember there at Ruth it says, may his name be renowned. This is the name that you sang about, the name above all names, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. He's the ultimate renowned Redeemer. Naomi was told that Obed would comfort her. This is the ultimate comforter, folks. His name is Jesus. He is the ultimate gracious one. He's the ultimate restorer. He's the ultimate nourisher. He's the ultimate secure without end. Obed died. Some other redeemer had to be raised to perpetuate the inheritance and the heir. In Jesus Christ, we have one who lives forever, never to die. He's the ultimate redeemer. Wow, what a reward. See the ultimate rewards then in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Not only in His coming, what did He do to redeem us? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9. And here, verses 11 through 15. Boaz is the historical type of a redeemer. But there's more to redemption than the book of Ruth. Throughout the Old Testament, the priests offered sacrifices, which were historical types of the work of redemption to set God's people free from their sin. Now hear what he says about that in Hebrews 9:11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that not will come, have come, all the good things that God promised to His people has come. It's already here. Then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all. That doesn't mean once for all people. That means once for all time. One act, in other words, into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing what? An eternal redemption. That's what He accomplished. Boaz accomplished a temporal redemption that brought the inheritance back to the family of Naomi and brought an heir back to the family of Naomi. Jesus Christ accomplished an eternal redemption forever. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now watch this. Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive what? The promised eternal inheritance. The inheritance for Naomi was a piece of land. The heir for Naomi was Obed that secured the inheritance in the family. What is the inheritance of those who are in Christ? Not a temporal land. Something far beyond that. Something that is the promised eternal inheritance. And if you want to read about it, you could go to Revelation 21:22. A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, becomes the inheritance. It's eternal. It's not going to pass away. It's not here yet, but it's coming. Through the new and better covenant. This was for the believing Jew. The hope of the believing Jew is in Jesus Christ. And apart from Him, no Jew has any hope at all. It's in Christ. And they're going to find that they're not going to get a little tiny piece of geography. They're going to get the whole earth will belong to them as their inheritance. The whole new heaven, the whole new earth will belong to the believing Jew in Christ. But what about the Gentiles? Are they different and separated? The answer is no. They're not different and separated. Ruth inherits the same thing that Naomi inherits. And what has happened in the new covenant is that the wings of God has spread beyond Israel, ethnic Israel, to include Gentiles who do what Ruth did. And that's to say, your God is my God. Your people are my people. And she entered in to Israel, true Israel. And Gentiles are grafted into the same thing. Oh, it's wonderful, folks. We don't live under the old covenant that was a mixed bag and temporal. We live under the new covenant, which is eternal, an eternal redemption and an eternal inheritance. It's glorious. Same family. Middle wall partition is broken down. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile. What matters is, are you in Christ? In Christ is the promise. Outside of Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. You're lost. In Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. All that matters is you are in Christ the Redeemer. And He purchased the inheritance. And He has made you, Jew or Gentile, His co-heir. It's wonderful. In redemption, what else do we have? Look at things very quickly. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. So many things that are the reward of His redemptive work. And here's one of them. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Then he adds this, "and are justified by His grace as a gift." How are we justified by His grace as a gift? The rest of the verse says, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." How is it possible you can be justified before God? That you can be declared righteous before God? It is through the redemption of Jesus Christ. What He paid for obtained your justification. Significant, isn't it? Being justified as a gift is an ultimate reward of His redemption. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Boaz was willing to lay down his reputation to make Ruth his wife. Our Redeemer did something far greater than that. Against us, whether we were Jew or Gentile, the curse of the law was against us. The condemnation of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's another ultimate reward. The law can curse me no longer. Even when I sin and break the law, I say, He paid for it. That doesn't justify my breaking the law. But the law is no longer a threat to me because I have a Redeemer who took the curse, all the curse, already for me. What a reward. I can live with some peace of mind I don't have to live in fear that the law is going to crush me like it ought, because it's already crushed the Redeemer in my place. That's one of the rewards of redemption. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Oh, wow. Ruth became the wife and the bride. When we trust Christ, we become part of His bride. But this is also a glorious thing. We who deserved His wrath and were slaves of sin, He adopts as His sons. Because Christ redeemed us. The adoption of sons. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Speaking of the beloved Christ. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." I mean, if anybody came up to Naomi later and said, "You lost your land. You have no right to your land." She could say, "Go talk to my Redeemer. Boaz paid for that. You have no claim against me anymore." When Satan accuses us before God, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who says, "I paid for them. I paid for their sins. Get out of here. You have no claim upon them." The forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 1. The work of redemption in Christ. What do we have? Verse 18 says, "Knowing that you were redeemed or ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers." What do we have in Christ? Living is no longer futile. When Naomi came back, she came back with no hope. She came back knowing that she had nothing. It had been forfeited. Life was bitter. By our sins, we have followed our forefathers and have inherited from them futile ways. Christ has redeemed us from futility so that we can have a life that is significant and a life that is satisfying and a life that's fulfilling not only for our own heart but for the glory of God. Because He has redeemed us. Here are the final words declaring redemption in Revelation chapter 5 in verse 9 and 10. Gathered around the throne of heaven, around the one who sits on the throne and around the Lamb, they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed or redeemed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." What has redemption accomplished? Well, the redemption of Naomi accomplished a king named David. But the redemption of Jesus Christ has made a kingdom of kings. Everyone who is in Christ has been made a king to rule and to reign with Him forever on the earth. The inheritance described in Revelation 21 and 22. And if you read it, you'll find the same thing described there, that they will reign with Him on the earth forever. The ultimate reward. in the final reward of His redemption that is yet to come for us. Hear it in Romans chapter 8. Here's what awaits you, believer, one who takes refuge under the wings of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Here's what awaits you. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We already have that. But we're at the in-between stage right now that's described in these words. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. How was Naomi's body redeemed? It was redeemed simply by the creation of another generation. How is your body redeemed? It's redeemed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first fruits. And all who are in Christ will rise. The book of Philippians says that God is going to give us a body like His glorious body. Part of your humanity is this, your body. God not only saves your spirit, God not only redeems your spirit, He's going to redeem your body. And there's coming a time when He's going to say, not Lazarus, come forth. He's going to say, my people, come forth. And His people are going to come forth. Bodies like His body, glorious. And all creation at that time is going to be set free from its futility. And we'll have the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness forever. The glorious bodily resurrection from the dead. To share in the full inheritance of the land, the earth, as a joint heir forever. That's the ultimate reward of redemption. What glorious rewards redemption affords. Not only by Boaz, but especially, ultimately, by the Redeemer. David anticipated that in Psalm 72. I want to just cite a few verses again out of that for you. Solomon was a glimmer of David's anticipation in this psalm, but Jesus Christ is the ultimate blazing glory of everything David anticipated. For all the earth and for all the nations. Hear verse 12. For He delivers the needy when He calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence He redeems their life. See, that's what Boaz did for Naomi and Ruth. He heard their cry. And He loved them and redeemed them. In the ultimate Redeemer, Jesus Christ, He delivers the needy when He calls. The poor and him who has no helper, He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy from oppression and violence. He redeems their life. And it doesn't matter whether they're Jew or Gentile. Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. So the question for you as we close is this. Having heard of His redemption, have you received the rewards of redemption? You cannot until you take shelter under the wings of the Redeemer. Until you trust your whole being to Jesus Christ as the one who died for your sins, you will not experience the rewards of redemption. But I guarantee you, by the Word of God, if you take shelter under His wings as your Redeemer, then everything you've heard is yours in Him, both now and to come and forever. Christian, when was the last time you thanked Him for being your Redeemer, for loving you in spite of your sin, and making you His very own? Don't leave without expressing that to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for this little book of Ruth. It's a small book, but oh Father, You have loaded it with lessons for us about redemption. How we thank You for the New Testament that fleshes out all those lessons in Jesus Christ, the ultimate Redeemer. How destitute and lost and futile would be our life apart from Him. And I pray that if there is someone here this morning that's in that very condition, that You would awaken them to that and prompt them and enable them by Your Spirit to flee to Christ as the Redeemer and to put themselves under His wings for His care. Thank You, Father, that He has accomplished redemption. Thank You that He applies it to those whom He draws to Himself by His providence and causes us to take refuge in Him. Thank You also, Father, for the hope that is to come when our redemption also includes our body and the glory of dwelling in the new heaven and the new earth with our Redeemer throughout all eternity. Speak now to our hearts, Father. Draw sinners to Yourself. Cause Your saints to cry out with joy over their Redeemer. And we'll thank You in His name. Amen.